One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hey everybody, Hallie Kiefer here.
And Allison Leiby here.
And we are back for just another phantasmagorium of creepy crawly dread in our October spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
And so far, the most enjoyable part of it is the treat of watching Allison watch the trailers for all of our October movies, because it's just different shades of fear and terror passing across her face. And I love it.
I mean, there's just no way I could watch anything that we've covered. The trailers alone give me nightmares. Much like another venture that we've been taking you all on this month, which is tasting the worst candy for some reason, because we hate ourselves. We took all of the fun of Halloween and we're like, well, what if it was bad?
What if we were dumb and we did something bad to make ourselves eat poison? I don't know. We did it.
I feel like we're eating poison.
And we're of course getting closer to the end of the month, which means we are getting to the worst candies, and you will not be surprised.
Oh, we really got a doozy.
This week's entry is Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty.
Now, do you like black licorice? And
no.
Also, there's a hard, flavorless candy shell
also,
around
it. Also, it's like white and mauve. Like, it's not even like fun colors. You could make this candy anything, and you made it look like Advil. I'd rather eat Advil.
Right. Yeah, Advil does not, when you open the bottle, hit you with a powerful stench the way that Good and Plenty's do.
Yeah, like fake anise. Like, it's so...
I feel bad. We're never going to be sponsored by Good and Plenty. Good and Plenty, we're sorry, but your candies are terrible. Please don't. This is our opinion. This is simply, allegedly, they taste bad.
This is all commentary.
And my package on mine says a fat-free candy. And I'm like, I guess that's the draw.
It does say fat-free candy. I bought a box. It was the only box they had at my drugstore. And it looks like it has made it from the initial run of Good and Plenty's through many shipping containers and warehouses to get to me. So if I die, it might not even just be Good and Plenty. It might be whatever has transpired where that box has been.
But I will say, much like our previous contenders in the worst candy contest, white chocolate and Whoppers, there are defenders of Good and Plenty, including my friend Courtney. Hi, I don't know if you're listening. I always remember called Good and Plenty's Precious and Fuse because she loved them so much.
What?
This is as a child. This is like in high school she would buy
as these. There's things that like I like now where like as a child I would have been like, this is disgusting. But this is not. All right. What?
All right. We're doing it.
Which color
are you? Now, I'm trying the mauve. What color?
Okay. Also the mauve, but I have a white in my hand as well.
But also, I want to be clear, they're not going to taste different. I know, that will make a difference. But
again, I'm trying to do due diligence if this is going to be. Oh my God. I can't even bite through it. Oh my God, I hate it so much. Oh my God, this is so bad. This is so hard.
Boy.
Okay, mine has gone bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine are not hard. I think you probably have, it was like a 30-year-old box.
I have old Good and Plenty's. Oh my God.
Ooh.
It tastes like wood.
It tastes like medicine, like
herbal
medicine.
I have to spit this out. I legitimately have to spit it out because I can't chew it.
I feel like it tastes so medicinal. It's like Goop would tell you to eat these because it's like a natural medicine or something. I'll be honest, the licorice part was bad, but I almost feel like the candy coating is worse. It's gritty.
It's really bad.
It's painfully sweet.
It's really hard to tell because mine are old. So
yeah, that's a good point.
I can't believe yours aren't hard. Mine were so hard.
No, mine are soft and kind of, oh, of course, I've spilled them all over the table, so we got that going for us.
Oh, my God. This is the worst taste on earth.
They look like medicine, and they taste like medicine.
I prefer the taste of medicine to that.
I'm going to try a white one.
Okay.
They're not good. They're not as bad as I thought they would be.
No. Mine are falling apart in my mouth like rocks.
This is tough. No. Okay. Are you ready to weigh in? Are you ready to give it a...
One.
A number? A one.
One.
So this is lower than candy corn.
This is lower than candy corn for me.
Wow.
For sure. I'd rather eat that wet, buttery sand than this disgusting, hard medicine any day.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna give this a two because I feel like mine are softer. And the licorice part isn't great, but it is. I don't mind it as much as the hard candy, harder, gritty shell that crushes in your teeth. I think, a lot of these candies, they're of a different time. But they must have
serving
fans.
Serving size is 25 of them.
So maybe it's like a diet candy. Because one, you don't want to eat it, so you're not going to eat as many.
Right.
But if you really wanted to, you could eat 25. And
it would still be 110 calories.
Yeah, this, I could see, Gwyneth Paltrow being like, oh my God, Good and Plenty's are my favorite candy.
She's like, I indulge and have two, you know, it's really...
Exactly. So yeah, sorry, Good and Plenty. That's a big no from us.
I'm gonna give it a two also.
Two.
No, yeah. I'm gonna give it a one because mine were old.
You have to follow your heart. Yeah,
they
that might
old.
Not be the company's fault, but they were old.
It's CBS's fault.
Boy, and if there's anything that's gonna leave a worse taste in your mouth, Allison, it's gonna be the movie we're doing this week. Which is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oof, God.
Now I had never seen it before, so this is a fun treat for myself as well. And we had Allison watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailer. What are your thoughts?
My first thought is, was this based on a true story?
So that is how it was sort of marketed. So in much ways, say like a Blair Witch was marketed as being based on a true story. So in a sense, no, it is not literally based on an actual...
Okay.
But it's sort of loosely based on the story of the serial killer. This is what at least people say. Serial killer Ed Gein. Do you know him? Or Gein, I guess.
No.
Are you familiar with Ed Gein? Yeah. Let me go just look him up real quick. Because I believe my memory of him, one of the many heavy hitters in American, I'll say America is number one for serial killers.
Look,
so
we're good at that and we always will be.
Yeah. It's like us, Russia, and I don't even know where else. But he was a serial killer in 19... No, he wasn't a serial killer. I suppose he was a murderer and also a body snatcher. So he didn't kill as many people as serial killers kill, but he did exhume corpses from local graveyards and fashion trophies and keepsakes from their bones and skin. This is the Ed Gein Wikipedia article. And to be clear, he did kill two women. So he also did kill people, but I guess technically he wasn't kill enough people or in the time period to be a serial killer. He is just a full creep.
Oh, God.
And I think what's tough about that is body snatcher doesn't... That almost seems fun. Like, the word snatch, that's like, oh, he took a body, snatched it up. No.
There's nothing fun about digging up corpses and making memorabilia out of parts of them.
Yeah, so I think that is his... Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a... it's funny, there's a list of things he made. I'm just going to read a few real quick.
Okay.
So these are things, when he was finally arrested for these murders, here are things they found in his actual home. A waste basket made of human skin.
No! Oh, my God.
Human skin covering several chair seats.
No.
Skulls on his bedpost.
That's like so tame in comparison.
Bowls made from human skulls.
Oh.
A corset made from a female torso skinned from shoulders to waist.
No.
Masks made from the skin of female heads.
Nope. Matt, absolutely not skin masks. No.
One of his victims, her name was Mary Hogan, her face was a mask and it was in a paper bag.
This is a real person that did
this. This is a real person in the 50s, which seem like a more innocuous time. Oh, God. You know what's funny is I actually read the least terrifying things. Allison, you are going to hate this. They found.
This is real.
This is real. This is a real person that this really happened. Not okay, nine vulva or vulvae? Women's vulvas in a shoebox.
No. The reason you don't know how to say the plural of vulva is because there's literally not a time to ever use it. It should never be said.
It simply shouldn't be said. It shouldn't come up. You should address them one at a time, like the individual people they belong to.
Oh, my God.
Shouldn't be in a shoebox.
Shouldn't be a collection.
A belt made from female human nipples.
No.
A pair of lips on a window shade drawstring.
Oh, my God.
And finally, a lampshade made from the skin of a human face.
No. What?
So.
Okay.
So while this is not strictly based on this story, because there's, like, different characters and stuff, the scavenging, grave robbing, and assembling things from body parts does come into play in the film in the same way that this actual person who actually lived in Wisconsin.
The sensibilities are the same.
Mm. Yes, no. his sense of interior design is the same as the characters. And I guess Ed Gein's story also inspired movies like Psycho and The Silence of the Lambs, which makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so the idea of like taking a human... Yeah, how do you feel about that? Let's take a baseline scary. How scary do you find the idea of somebody taking a human body and just sort of making stuff out of it?
I would say bad. Mm-hmm. I feel bad
don't
about
like
that. I don't like mm-hmm. it. I don't support it. I also, like, I think that taxidermy is weird.
Yes.
And this is a worse version of that. Like, taxidermy to me is, like, such a bizarre practice.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it really... I think the scary thing about this movie and what I did find very terrifying in this movie and other horror movies are, like, the idea of, like, people not having a correct response to a dead body, which is... reverence, but also fear and disgust. Like, those, all three are fine.
Yes. It should be a mix of all three, honestly.
Yes. A healthy dose of all three. And if you don't have one or more, things seem to... It's like...
We got a problem.
And I guess it reminds me of, like, Jeffrey Dahmer also did sort of similar stuff. Ted Bundy also kept... I guess a lot of serial killers keep the bodies. And I guess it's sort of like... There must be something mentally wrong with that kind of person...
Yeah,
where it's like their brain doesn't have that response of like, oh no, I am both scared and sad and grossed out. They must
and
just
what I
have
shouldn't do is touch this and do anything with it.
I shouldn't take it home and make a hat out of it.
Yeah, nothing about this screams floor lamp, you know?
Right. And it might be screaming, oh dear God, no, please don't make me do a floor lamp. So I guess that's why I think this is a part of classic is like, yeah, it's not based on a true story per se, but it is not. It's not like this kind of stuff hasn't happened.
It is inspired by true events.
Exactly.
And that's terrifying.
So before we begin, I always like to have Allison make a couple predictions. What do you think is going to happen in this movie based on what you've seen in the trailer and the title?
I mean, it seems like it's a family of monsters. Mm-hmm. And by monsters, I mean body snatchers and murderers who mm-hmm. wear other people's faces.
Great.
Terrorizing like hot 20-year-olds who don't wear bras.
Right. Who are our precious, most precious commodities.
It's true. Is this like the first sexy horror movie?
I don't know if it's the first, but it's certainly one of the most iconic final girls, hot blonde running through the woods screaming.
Yes. Okay.
You know, trying to escape a killer. It is definitely...
up there as one of the like important first ones.
Exactly. It definitely changed the game because people loved it, you know?
Yeah.
People love seeing a terrified woman run through the woods being chased by a chainsaw, as we now see. Also, I thought it was funny. In the trailer, it says, this is a movie that's just as real, just as close, and just as terrifying as being there. No, not true.
No, being there would be...
way worse.
Way worse.
I mean, this is scary. I appreciate they're trying to sell it, but, like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
All right. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre begins with my favorite thing, which is text on the screen.
Oh,
text
scariest.
On the screen to contextualize what we're about to see.
Great.
Also, I believe it is the narrator's John Larroquette from Night Court.
Oh.
He does not appear in the film, but he is the narrator.
That's fun.
The film, which you are about to see, is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of five youths, in particular Sally Hedesty, and her invalid brother, Franklin.
Oh, no.
It is all the more tragic that they were young, but had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see, much of the mad and the macabre as they were to see that day. Yeah, I don't think anyone, no matter what age, wants to see what they're about to see.
No, cumulatively, over the course of any human life, you will not see that much horror and macabre as you do in this movie.
Yeah, like, we don't want this. I don't want this to happen to an 18-year-old, but I also don't want it to happen to a 9-year-old. It's bad at any age.
No.
For them, an idyllic summer afternoon drive became a nightmare. The events of that day led to the discovery of one of the most bizarre crimes in the annals of American history, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So again, to make you think this is real.
Yes.
So the movie opens, and this is probably like my favorite movie opening I've seen in a long time. You just hear it's darkness and somebody panting and struggling. A man's panting and struggling voice. And then you see camera flashes, and each camera flash, we assume it's night, we see a corpse's hand, its face, a foot and a boot. We uncontextualize.
Yes.
So we're just seeing horrible flashes.
Is one of them teeth? Teeth were in the...
Oh, yeah. Teeth, a grinning, rictus grin.
Teeth were a big part of the trailer, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, a lot of teeth stuff in this. And over these shots, we hear a radio announcement, a story. So basically, there's been a grave-robbing incident where someone made a grisly work of art with exhumed bodies in the cemetery outside of Newt, Texas. Mm. Cut to, we are seeing that grisly work of art. It is a rotting corpse.
No.
Which I believe you also see in the trailer. You see a lot of the trailer,
You
actually.
See a lot in the trailer.
So go ahead and watch the trailer, guys. It is like a grinning, melting, rotting corpse clutching another skull on top of like a monument in a graveyard. And you're listening to the story. And it's very funny because they say like Sheriff Jesus Maldonado pointed to forces from outside the state. So if this was made in 2020, they would be blaming Antifa, is what it sounds like.
Yep, that sounds about right. Texas would.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, guys, I got some bad news. Somebody's doing that. That guy lives within a block from of the graveyard. Like, he's not going to go across state to do this.
No one's traveling to do that kind of art.
Yeah, he doesn't have his schedule together. You mean, like, whoever's doing this, like, his priorities are out of whack. He's not going to cross state lines to do this. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Anywho, no suspects are in custody. And, you know, we begin and we open on a van full of, like, cute, perky, white, I guess like either late teens, early 20s, you know, fresh face, driving through the hot Texas countryside. And what I really like is you keep hearing the radio and like it's sort of like this other litany of terrible things that have happened, like a cholera outbreak, building collapse, two dead bodies found in Indiana with their genitals removed. Like it's sort of like this is a story that you haven't heard of because the world is filled with terrible things. So of course you didn't hear this one terrible thing. There's so many terrible things. So we're in a van, and the van stops, and we meet Kirk, Franklin, Sally, Jerry, and Pam. Sally and Franklin are brother and sister.
Okay.
And Franklin is in a wheelchair.
Okay.
Which doesn't really come up as, like, it's sort of like, I appreciate having somebody be disabled, but the only time it comes, in a film, like, I think we should depict disability more often, but it seems like the only reason it's in there is to sort of like embarrass or make fun of him or have it be difficult for him to escape things. So it seems like Franklin is just sort of there to be weird, weird guy.
That's a bummer.
But you do feel for him, and we'll get into why. So Kirk helps Franklin out of the van so he could pee on the side of the road. And of course, his wheelchair starts rolling down a hill and he's screaming and everyone's screaming and he hits the bottom of the hill and he rolls out.
Perfect.
Into sort of like a grassy area, and he's thrown from his wheelchair and barrel rolls down this hill. And Kirk's like, oh shit, and has to run after him. And that has nothing to do with the movie. So that's why I wanted to say, like, it seems like they're just there to like make fun of him in this way that it's like, well, that doesn't connect to what happens in the film
anyway. If in that, then he like stumbles upon something because he rolled into an area that no one would have been in, then it's like, I guess I see like, this is unnecessary. But just to do it feels...
Exactly. Or like this is somehow he's like, he escapes because he's like, oh my God, I could get away down a hill. Or if it played into like, oh, I realize I could use my lock on
later,
a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He just flies down a hill and rolls away and everyone has to like help him, you know?
Oh.
So they're driving and we don't really know exactly, but eventually we find out that their grandfather, Sally and Franklin, is buried in that cemetery.
Okay.
So they are going with their friends to make sure that his body was not one of the bodies that was dug up. And it's incredibly hot and just they don't have AC. And Pam, the other girl, is reading out loud from a book about the Zodiac. So it's already in my nightmare.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Like
that's
being in
terrible.
A van with a bunch of people having to hear about the Zodiac. And we hear Pam explain that Saturn is currently in retrograde.
Oh, one of these Saturn, bitches.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, she's all about the zodiac. Saturn is a malefic planet. And basically what that means is that it's an evil planet, and it has a bad influence, and it's particularly bad when it's in retrograde. So.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and everyone's like, okay, Pam, you know. So they go up, they show up to the cemetery, and there's a lot of people who have sort of staked out. Like, there's locals in the cemetery hanging out because they're trying to sort of either prevent this from happening or catch the person who's been doing it. Because it wasn't just one time. At least 12 bodies have been taken over time.
Right, that's an art installation.
Yes, yeah, somebody spent a lot of time figuring this out. So she shows up, and somebody's like, I'll take you to the sheriff. And their grandfather's grave has not been disturbed. Okay. So, you know, Franklin's like, it seems like a little more distraught about it, but Sally's like, I saw it. There's grass on it. Like, it's fine. This is distressing, but our grandfather's great. And what we understand is, like, their grandfather is from this town, and they ostensibly, one of their parents moved away. So they've been to this town, but they're not from there.
Okay.
And they've only really visited their grandfather, like, a little bit. So they're not really familiar with the area, but they decide, oh, we're going to go visit his house. Like, it was sort of like the homestead.
Sure.
Just to see it. Because they did, like, have these memories from growing up. Like, there was, like, a watering hole in the back. And, you know, they sort of, like, they stayed there. And they're just like, well, we're here. We might as well stop by. So they go. And while they're driving, they did something that is the most 1974 thing possible. And that is, Allison, they pick up a hitchhiker.
It is crazy that that was just an accepted thing that went on for decades.
And I guess it's sort of like, I'm sure someone has done this study where it's like, when did that end? When did that become acceptable? I guess it was during this time period where you did hear about serial killers more often, or people randomly hurting other people.
Yeah, random violence.
Because they don't, I mean, Pam is a little bit like, oh, that guy looks weird, but nobody is fazed by it. And they're like cool, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like college students.
Hip,
so it's
young.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, oh, we're all in it together, you know. So they pick him up. And as they're, they're about to pick him up. And as they're driving, they pass a slaughterhouse. And Franklin's like, oh, that's where our grandfather used to work. And he talks about, like, in great detail, he's like, oh, yeah, they used to use a sledgehammer to kill the cows. And now they use an air bolt, and it drives a bolt into their brain. And Pam is a vegetarian. She's like, I'm going to puke.
Nope.
Stop talking about this. And he's like, okay. And then you pass by this slaughterhouse with all these cows. And I think, like, the thing we're supposed to evoke is, like, now they are now cows. Like, they are going to their slaughter.
Yes.
And they smell this horrible rank smell, and it's all the cows. And so as they pass the slaughterhouse, they see a hitchhiker, like, right outside of it. So they pick him up. And this guy is, at a glance, the weirdest guy you've ever seen.
Oh, good. Definitely pick him up then. Don't ask any questions. Just do it.
There's no question. Franklin even says, I think we just picked up Dracula. And it's like, at least Franklin is pointing it out.
Yes, thank you.
And this movie is peak. Like, if someone is a hillbilly, or they are strange looking, or in this case, the hitchhiker has, like, a port wine stained birthmark on his face.
Oh.
If somebody looks weird, they are not simply weird, but evil, basically.
Evil. Yeah. Don't let them in the car. Don't drive them around. That's not what you should do.
And the man does have a couple of open sores on his face.
Okay, see, no.
But I'm saying most people who have port wine stains on their face or from Texas aren't great. Frankly, they're more fun at a party than most people. But this movie is like, if someone looks weird, they are weird.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The same way that, like, you're going to be in a wheelchair, but you're just going to fall down a hill and we're not going to connect you to the plot.
Right.
Like, if someone looks odd, just assume that they are a serial killer or body snatcher in this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the movie, but I'm saying in real life, those people are fine.
Right.
Back me up on this, Allison.
But in this film, that makes sense. Because, like, we're already living in a world where it's like, people are just, like, putting together dead body stuff.
Exactly. But they stop and they pick him up. And this guy is immediately, he's laughing to himself. And he and Franklin get into a conversation about the sledgehammer versus the air gun. Because the guy's like, oh, I used to work at the slaughterhouse and I would kill cows with a sledgehammer.
I was at the slaughterhouse.
I got an uncle that works at the slaughterhouse.
Hey, my brother worked there. My grandfather, too.
My family's always been in me.
Family of Dracula's.
But then they switched to the air bolt, and a lot of people got laid off. So I think the sledgehammer's better.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you have to hit the cow a couple times, and it wouldn't die. And Pam is, like, trying not to vomit.
Yeah. As someone who eats meat, I'm even more put off by it.
Yeah, I think Sally says, like, I'd like to be able to eat meat again, so could we please stop talking about
this? Which then it's like, we're all going to turn our eyes to the horrors of the way that we manage meat consumption in this country. But anyway, moving on.
So the hitchhiker reaches in. He has sort of like a little pouch made out of, I think, a fox fur or something. He has some sort of dead animal pouch.
Yeah.
And he pulls out photos and he hands it to Franklin, and they're just pictures of the dead cows he killed.
No. Why?
And he's like, you know, do you know how they make head cheese? They boil the head and they scrape all the meat off and they turn into cheese. And you're like, oh boy.
Also, like, this is the 70s. Like, yeah, we had cameras for a while, but like, it wasn't like now where you take a photo of literally everything that ever happens to you, because it doesn't matter because it doesn't cost you anything. Like, to take and develop photos was so intentional then.
Well, so another thing that this hitchhiker has is he has a Polaroid camera.
Okay.
So I was kind of surprised, like, he has, like, what seems to be an early Polaroid camera as far as I'm aware. So he documents a lot of stuff. And we see his camera, which has a flash on it, which makes us think to the beginning where we saw those flashes of light.
And we saw those corpse, interesting. Yes.
Pieces of a corpse. So we're like, okay, was he photographing these corpses for reasons unknown? So Franklin is kind of gross and, like, it's sort of like, it's clearly like Franklin has been just invited along. Like, his sister's like, yes, Franklin can come in. We're with my friends. And so, but you do sympathize where it's like, yeah, Franklin's weird, but like, he means well. He's just maybe a little bit odd. So he starts cleaning his fingernails with a pocket knife, which is disgusting.
That is horrible.
And at one point, he's sort of like stabbing the side of the van door absentmindedly. Like, a lot of knife work in a way.
Yeah, a lot of knife work.
So the hitchhiker grabs Franklin's knife and, laughing, starts cutting into his own palm.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Everyone's like, whoa, everyone has an appropriate reaction, but they do not pull the car over.
That they didn't have the appropriate reaction, because the appropriate reaction is to be like, get the fuck out of our car, you psychopath.
Right. Or to say, hey, Jerry, because Jerry's the one's driving, pull the van over.
Right.
This guy just cut himself with Franklin's knife.
His knife that he was cleaning his fingernails with.
Right, a filthy knife. And then he just hands it back to Franklin, and all of them are just watching him stunned, you know. And the hitchhiker pulls up his pant leg, and he's like, I have a knife too, and he pulls it out. And it's actually a straight razor.
Nope, not a knife.
And Kirk has a very funny line. He's like, oh, could you put that one away too? He's like, oh, okay, cool.
Cool.
And then the hitchhiker takes his camera, and he takes a picture of Franklin, and he develops it. And they're all like, did you just take his photo? You know, what's going on?
What's happening?
And he says, oh, you know, can you guys drop me off at my house? It's really close. It's like right here. And so Pam's like, well, if it's really close, just get out and walk.
Just
we're not
going
to drive you there. Why are you in our van?
Yeah.
And he says, you guys could stay for dinner. Mm-mm. My brother makes a mean head cheese. And everyone appropriates like, nope, we have a long drive home. We can't do that. Get out, you know.
No, thank you.
And so then the hitchhiker tries to get Franklin to pay him $2 for this Polaroid. And Franklin's like, it's a bad picture, and also I didn't ask you to take it. So now the hitchhiker's demeanor is totally changed. And he takes out like a little, I don't know what it is, like birdshot or something, and he puts a piece of tinfoil and he sets the photo on fire. And it like explodes into flames in his hand. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
And so they're like, you got to get out of here. And as Jerry starts to pull over, the hitchhiker takes the straight razor and he slashes Franklin's arm, like pretty badly.
Yeah.
So everyone's screaming and he's pulling over and they force the hitchhiker out and they're trying to get back on the highway. And the hitchhiker's running alongside the van and smearing blood on the side of it.
Oh, my God.
And Jerry says appropriately, that's the last goddamn hitchhiker I ever pick up.
Thanks, Jerry, for like being clued in here. Don't do that.
Right, but to be fair, they were not, again, if you're in a horror movie, you have to communicate. So they should have said, Jerry, this guy slashed his own hand with a knife.
We're kicking him out.
Do it right now. So I think Jerry, maybe he did, because he couldn't see what was happening. They were not telling him. So, you know, Pam, because she's just a real problem solver, is like, how do I, you know, defuse the situation? We just had, Franklin just got slashed by this psycho.
Right.
You know,
there's
everyone's
blood all
really
over
disturbed.
The car. Yeah.
So Pam says, oh, I'll read Franklin's horoscope. Everyone loves that, right? After you've had some sort of trauma, it's just hearing your horoscope. And his horoscope is, travel in the country, long-range plans, and upsetting persons around you could make this a disturbing and unpredictable day. The events of the world are not doing much either to cheer one up.
I don't like that. This is why you should have read your horoscope.
I mean, this is, I think, fundamentally the issue with horoscopes, where it's like, then what could he have done about it? Like, if that's true, and this is what's happening, well, then there's nothing that Franklin or any of them could have done to prevent this.
Yes.
It was already literally written in this book.
Right.
And then she reads Sally's horoscope and she goes, oh no. Sally is a Capricorn. And Capricorns are ruled by Saturn, which you've already established is in retrograde, which is evil for whatever reason.
I'm also a Capricorn.
Oh, this is perfect then. And her fortune is, there are moments when we cannot believe that what is happening is really true.
Evergreen.
Pinch yourself and you may find out that it is.
No.
Yeah, I guess that one at least is vague enough that I'm like, okay, sure. But the other, Franklin's was like, this is going to be a disturbing and unpredictable day.
Yeah, that's also so you're specific. Like driving through the country. It's like exactly what they are doing.
So I think we're supposed to think, I mean, I don't know really, but I sort of took it as like, there's nothing they could have done. Like, we could say what they could have done, and we obviously are going to weigh in what their mistakes were at the end of the episode, as we always do. But this was already going to happen.
Yes.
These things just happen, yeah. And they might as well be set in stone. There's nothing you could have done.
Ugh.
So like they stop to get some gas at a little gas station. The girls go to the bathroom. But the gas station owner says, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm completely out of gas. Like, the tanker should be here later today or maybe the morning, but it's like bumfuck in the middle of nowhere, you know? And Kirk and Jerry are like, oh, God damn, we should have gotten gas before we left, obviously. Also, we don't know how far they're driving, but, like, let's say it's going to be a while.
Right. They'll need gas.
You know, so they start talking. It's like, oh, shit, you know. And this is like, just like you should always have a charged phone in a horror movie, you have to have a full tank of gas.
You have to have a full tank of gas.
Especially if you're going on a road trip. But I guess we're like, oh, they're in their 20s. And they're like, oh, we didn't think about it, you know.
Yeah. People in their 20s are dumb, so.
And Franklin says, oh, do you know where this like particular house is? It was my grandfather's. It was like the family homestead. And the gas station owner's like, oh, you know, I don't think you want to go around messing around with like an abandoned house, you know. And when he says it, it's with the indication of like, he's trying to tell them not to go there. Because maybe there's some stuff going on in the neighborhood that they're not going to want to get mixed up. You know?
Also, like, if the gas station attendant knows enough of what's going on to be like, don't do that, things are bad.
And Franklin's like, oh, no, no, like, my father owns the house. Like, that's where my grandfather lived. Like, it's totally fine, you know. And the gas station's like, hey, guys, like, hey, you know, we have barbecue here. So, like, why don't you just eat some barbecue and hang out? Like, the refueling truck should be here in a couple hours. Like, just stay here. Don't go to that house. Mm-hmm. And so they say, no, thank you, sir. We'll take our barbecue to go, and we will go to this abandoned house. And then they're like, we'll come back in a couple hours and just get gas then. So we'll just hang out there and then go back. Which, in real life, is not a bad plan.
No. I simply see it.
Yes.
But this is bad. This is bad.
Yeah. And so Franklin, who is, I want to be clear, a weirdo, he's also the one who starts to be the first one who's like, you know, there's blood from that guy on my knife. And it started to make me wonder, like, when he smeared blood on the side of the van, was he, like, marking the van? Like, he's not going to come after us. And they're like, oh, Franklin, you dumbass. There's no way that guy will come after us.
Oh, my God. Listen to Franklin.
And it's like, you know, at a certain point, like, he and Sally are, like, alone. They have, like, a heart-to-heart. He's like, I know you didn't want me to come with you guys. And, like, you know, he's sort of like the brother who's like,
sure.
Doesn't have friends.
Bring your brother with you. Exactly. He's not doing anything else.
I'll bring your brother to go see if your grandfather's grave got dug up by those body snatchers. You better take him. Like, where are their parents? Like, why would you send your two children to do this?
I mean, they're adults. But,
yeah.
No.
If I find out that my father's grave was potentially dug up, I would maybe take the afternoon off work and go there myself. I would not send my two children.
No, I would actually have the police do it. I wouldn't go near it. But that's just me.
That's a great point. But I guess they're in the area. We're going to stop by our grandfather's house. You know, we're going to maybe go to the creek, go to the watering hole and like swim for a little bit. And then we'll go back. You know, so everyone's like, Franklin, you're being ridiculous. So they go there and they start to like go through this abandoned house. And it's like the timeline doesn't exactly make sense because it's like, Sally says, oh, you know, we came here and I stayed in this room when I was 8. We came to visit. The house looks like it's been standing abandoned for 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're like 18, maybe at the 25 at the absolute latest.
Right.
But I think they're younger. So I'm like, so the grandfather died and then your parents just let this gigantic house fall to shit?
Yeah. That seems like an odd choice.
Versus like, oh, my great-grandfather or something or like.
Right.
There's something about it where I'm like, I just feel like I wanted to have the real estate details about that. Did they try to sell it? It was just too remote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they go, and it's this gigantic, beautiful old house, but that has fallen to shit. Like, the windows are all blown out, and the ivy is sort of grown in. Like, this is, like, completely fallen apart. And, of course, it is terrifying. Franklin, because he's in a wheelchair, can't go inside the house. So perfect. Franklin is sort of just, like, stuck outside. And so he's getting more and more, like, perturbed. And while we're in the car, we see that he has given Sally his pocket knife to open her bottle of Coke from the gas station. So she is using a pocket knife covered in a stranger's blood, and they wipe it off. But I was like, this is another 70s
thing. No. Yeah, where it's like cleanliness is a different, there's a different scale of what you should be doing.
Right. I guess they didn't know about germ theory. Like, I don't know, like, you're using something that was not sanitized. So, like, you're going to drink out of the top of the bottle.
Put your mouth on it? I don't know. I don't trust it.
But now Franklin can't find the knife. And he's like, where did you put it? You know, you had it last. And she's like, I gave it back to you. So they're sort of squabbling. And then Sally, Kirk, Pam, and Jerry go into the house. And they're kind of like looking around. And finally, Kirk and Pam decide, okay, we're going to go to the watering hole for an hour. So Franklin will like be back, peace.
Is he just like sitting outside in the lawn?
Yes. Yeah, it's what? Like, we're not going to help you. At a certain point, he gets into the first floor, but it's all covered in debris.
Right.
And so it's like, and he's like, oh, and he's like talking to himself. He's like, oh, Franklin, it's going to be so fun. And he's like blowing raspberries. So it's like, he's kind of obnoxious, but he's not wrong.
No,
like,
he's correct.
They all immediately ditch him to go like up into the house. And so Kirk and Pam are like, we're going to go to the watering hole for like an hour, you know, to fuck or whatever. And it's like 95 degrees. Bye. Peace out, Franklin. So Franklin is just like ditched and left like near the van.
Yeah.
And so they leave him, and then while Franklin's, like, looking around the first floor, he sees what looks like a nest made out of human bone, or not human bones, like animal bones, feathers. Oh. But it's very intentionally created, like that art piece of artwork. And so he starts to yell for Sally, and he looks up to yell up the stairs, and he sees what looks like a wind chime made of bones.
Oh.
Hanging from the ceiling.
Artsy. Whimsical.
So Franklin's like, oh, fuck, this is not good. So he's trying to shout for any of them, but they're far enough away they can't hear him.
Okay.
So now Franklin is having, like, okay, something is actually
going wrong.
Something
is wrong here.
And this is why we have ADA standards for buildings, is that, like, to be fair, it's an abandoned building, but it's like a person in a wheelchair should be able to go anywhere they want, especially because they could alert you to the fact that there is some sort of bone-snatching serial killer, mutant family.
Artiste.
He is a very avant-garde style.
Very, very Etsy store, you know?
Right. But it's like, I want everyone in a wheelchair to be able to go wherever they want, especially if they were going to come to me and tell me, I think we got to get out of here because something is direly wrong.
Yes.
So Kirk and Pam go to the watering hole, but it's so hot, it's all dried out. So they're like, well, shit, you know? But while they're there, they hear a generator running and they see a house sort of like a little bit of far away. So Kirk says, oh, they have a generator. We could ask to borrow some gas. And then I have a couple dollars. I'll just pay them for it or whatever. And Pam's like, okay. So they go over to the house. They're looking around. And there's sort of an area where there's a net and sort of a camouflaged area. And there's all these cars, like abandoned cars. So that's like a little strange.
Never great.
But they make it to the house, and the house looks very cute. It has, like, a little swing, and, you know, it's all put together nicely. It looks like a normal, like, country house. Kirk goes up to the door, and he knocks on it. And he's like, oh, hello, sorry. Is there any way we could, like, buy some gas? Which, again, is a 70s thing. Like, I've never just personally bought gas off somebody.
Not from another person.
Yeah, and Kirk has no sense, right? So he's knocking on the door, on the screen door, and Pam's like, can we just leave? Like, nobody's here. And she goes to sit on the swing, and Kirk accidentally kicks something on the porch, and he looks down, and it's a human tooth.
Oh.
And so Kirk does something that I think, part of me is like, well, Kirk, you really asked for it. He picked up the human tooth, and it's supposed to be like, oh, fuck, there's a human tooth. We got to get out of here. He said, hey, Pam, open your hand. And he puts it in her hand as like a prank. And Pam's like, oh, my God. But neither of them realize, like, why is there a human tooth?
They're just like, ew, a tooth. Not like, wait, hold on. This came from someone's head. Where is that person?
Where's the person?
Who took it out?
Exactly. So Kirk finally opens the door, like the screen door, to knock on the real door. And he knocks on the door and it swings open. And Allison, do you know what he hears from inside?
Mm.
A pig squealing.
Oh, no.
And Allison, I have to ask you at this point in the movie, what would you do in this situation?
What would you do?
I would go back to the car, grab Franklin, get back to the gas station.
Yes.
Get there. Just get there. Because that guy knows something's up. And, like, you can at least wait there for the gas tanker.
Exactly.
Fill up and get the fuck out of there.
And you could eat some delicious barbecue while you're there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're not doing that for.
They did bring the barbecue with them. So
but
they
everybody
are
knows
going
that it's
to.
Better to eat barbecue where you get it, and it really doesn't travel.
It does not travel well. Yeah, exactly. That's a safety tip from this episode, is eat your barbecue where you get it.
Yeah.
So Kirk knocks at the door, it opens, and Allison, he goes inside the building.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
He goes in, and immediately a pig runs out in the hallway, and then behind it, the star of our film, Leatherface.
That's right. Leatherface. That's the name.
Yes. Leatherface. And at first I thought, oh, Leatherface is like the fan name for him. Or maybe it's like Pazuzu in The Exorcist, where like that's what it's called in the text, but it's never
but
said
no
aloud.
One sees it. Yeah. Or says
at some point, somebody calls him Leatherface, which I thought was fun.
That is fun. That's fun.
Leatherface is a gigantic, sort of a linebacker built sort of gentleman.
Yeah.
With a mask made out of some kind of leather.
Think we know what that is.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can be made into a leather, and we will find out soon. Leatherface, within a second, hits Kirk in the head with a sledgehammer. Kirk does not die right away. He starts seizing on the floor. It's horrible. Ugh. And then Leatherhead, again, hits him with the hammer, and Kirk is toast. That's it. And he's sort of dragged into this other room. Meanwhile,
dead.
Okay. Absolutely dead. Pam is outside, and she's like, Kirk, are you inside that house? You should come out now, Kirk.
Where are you?
So then she goes inside.
No.
And she's looking around. She's like, Kirk.
Why are...
Wait, the question is, why go inside? Well,
right.
Okay.
But I guess if he's not coming out at a certain point, you are like, I have to go figure out what's going on, or just leave him.
Yes. And I feel like my policy in real life is, if we were ever in this scenario and I go into a building and I do not come out and I do not reply, just leave.
For everyone that knows me, if I'm ever in this scenario, I do what? If I don't come out like after a certain amount of time, you are free to go. You do not have to come after me.
Exactly. So Pam goes, of course, into the house to look for him, and she hears kind of some rustling, and she opens a curtain to walk into a room and immediately trips onto the floor. And the floor is covered in feathers and bones. And she's looking around, and it's just sort of like her horrified face, which is kind of funny because, like, you see her look at something like a skull dangling from a string, and she's horrified. But then she looks and she sees a chicken in a birdcage, and she's equally horrified because clearly they just like got her reactions all at one point in time.
Yeah.
Like, she sees like a bench, which you actually see in the trailer, like a bench with like a human skeleton sprawled over it. And then she also sees a turtle shell, and she's, like, equally as horrified.
It's like, one of those is worse, but sure, just be upset.
And to be fair, she's on the ground in, essentially a nest of bones and feathers. And there's all these, like, horrifying things, like a human skull with, like, a cow's horn through its mouth.
Oh,
and it has,
God.
Like, a crown of chicken feathers. And, you know, so she's screaming and trying to get to her feet, horrified.
Smart.
And she gets up and she runs. But unfortunately, as soon as she gets to the porch, which is a very iconic shot from the movie, Leatherhead is right behind her.
Leatherface
is, his whole head is made of leather. I want to be clear. He has like a hair and a, you know. But Leatherface is right behind her, and he grabs her and he drags her back inside.
Yes. Iconic scene.
Iconic. So Leatherface grabs Pam, drags her inside, and takes her to sort of his butcher shop or abattoir.
His creative space.
Yes, exactly. As an artist, he needs a place to think, you know, be himself. And I think it's sort of be the parallel to, like, the slaughterhouse. Like, this is his slaughterhouse.
Right.
So he takes Pam and he puts her alive on a meat hook. So he sort of drives it through her back is what we're supposed to think.
Oh, God.
And so she's screaming and trying to get away still. And then he gets a chainsaw. And we see behind her, there's a bucket. You're like, oh, is he going to chainsaw her? No, he's going to chainsaw her boyfriend, Kirk, who is mercifully dead as far as we know.
Yeah, at that point, I'd rather be Kirk.
He's going to hack him apart with a chainsaw. So back at the house, Franklin is like, Jerry and Sally, do you not think it's odd that there is a symbol written in blood on the side of the van? Like, and also there's that bones I saw. And Jerry's like,
he's going to kill you, Franklin.
It probably doesn't mean anything, huh?
You worry too much.
Well, he couldn't find us anyway. I mean, he doesn't even know our names.
I gave him your name, Franklin. I told him where you live.
Jerry's laughing. He's having the time of his life teasing Franklin about this.
Ugh. Get it together. You're the driver. Be better.
So Jerry says, hey, I'm going to go down to the creek and tell Kirk and Pam to wrap it up. We're going to go back to the gas station. So he leaves, and I'm thinking, okay, hypothetically, how fast can a wheelchair go? Like, yeah, can someone in a wheelchair outpace
someone running,
specifically Leatherface?
Yeah.
And because I'm thinking that's the only way they're going to get out of here at this point.
Yeah.
So Jerry leaves and leaves Franklin, Sally, and they're kind of fighting. And that's when Franklin's like, you didn't want me to come, didn't you? And she's like, no, I'm just tired. But she's obviously super annoyed with him.
Right.
And Franklin's like, you don't believe in that horoscope stuff. And Sally says, I don't know. Everything means something, I guess.
Okay.
Not true.
Not true.
Another false statement.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
And I guess maybe that's my pushback on this, on the horoscope element of this movie, is that they could make some choices right now. They could leave. They could walk out of there.
Right.
They could have said, Jerry, you're not going. We're just going to drive away. There are steps you could take. Things are not written in the stars.
Many.
Especially Leatherface is not written in the stars.
No, that's not in anybody's horoscope.
So Jerry makes it over to the Leatherface's house. And again, doesn't know it's Leatherface's house. It looks great. There's like a rose bush on the outside. It's really nice. But he does see Kirk and Pam, like they took a beach blanket. And so it's sort of thrown over the porch. He's like, okay, well, they're inside. And he hears, you know, sort of like a deranged laughter. And I guess because it's the 70s, he's like, oh, they're pranking me. They're inside and they're pranking me.
It seems like a prank, like a very prank-heavy decade, the 70s.
So Jerry goes inside the house like they've all been doing, and he goes into the slaughterhouse, the slaughtering room, and he hears sort of rustling inside a freezer, and a still alive Pam shoots up, like screaming. So Pam was alive but locked in the freezer.
Oh my God.
She preserved as meat, I suppose. Unfortunately, before Jerry could even react, Leatherface bursts in and hits him with a sledgehammer and locks Pam back up in the freezer. Now they're all three of them are pretty much fucked, right? Yeah. And also, Leatherface does not talk. He just, like, grunts and screams, which is even more distressing.
Oh, yeah, that's so upsetting.
And at one point, he smiles, and we see that each of his teeth are filed down, so they're like a little pair of fangs.
Oh, my God. What? Why? No. Ugh.
Cut to Allison. It is full-on nighttime.
No.
And Sally and Franklin, Sally's honking the horn as if Jerry is, like, somehow, like, oh, right.
Sorry, got held up.
Right, at the crick or whatever, I'm going to come back here. And Franklin's like, they must have gotten lost. We are driving back to the gas station. We are calling for help, for someone to come help us look for
them. Yes, yes.
We are getting out of here. Also, I am in a wheelchair, bitch. Like, it's the middle of the night. Like, we can't just go down, like, through the woods.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, and Sally's like, I am not leaving here without Jerry. Mistake number 1,000. Yeah.
Huge
Sometimes
mistake.
You have to leave without Jerry is the moral of a lot of horror movies. Just leave without Jerry.
Yes. Leave without Jerry.
So Franklin's like, no, let me see. And he looks, and they, of course, Jerry has the keys. So they couldn't even drive out of there if they wanted
God.
To. I think they should just hit the road walking.
Yeah, just start getting the fuck out of there.
Just exactly. Go back to the gas station and call somebody. But, you know, and Sally's like, I'm going to go. I'm going to take the flashlight. I'm going to find Jerry. And Franklin's like, please, just, I'm going to go with you. So she's pushing Franklin's wheelchair through the brush, like the underbrush. Like, there's not really, I guess it's sort of a path. But it's like, it is the dead of night. If Jerry is lost, you are going to get lost then too.
Right.
And if Jerry is not lost and is in fact dead or something, you are now.
You are going to be dead too.
It's too late for Jerry. So they're you know, they're yelling Jerry's name, like, Jerry, Jerry. You know, and so as they're going, literally, they turn, and Leatherface is just there with a chainsaw, and he drives the chainsaw into Franklin's chest. So
my God.
Everybody but Sally is dead.
Dead.
And we are like, I guess we're like the halfway mark in the film. So now she
halfway.
Is... Halfway? A little bit. It's a short film. It's the perfect length. I think most horror movies need to be shorter.
Agreed.
But she's the only one who is alive. Franklin, poor Franklin, has been chainsawed in half, essentially. And now much of the film is just Leatherface chasing Sally.
Oh, my God.
So Sally...
A nightmare.
And Sally is wearing, like, sort of, like, a lavender top and, like, bright white bell bottoms. So she's very visible
in the dark,
in the early evening dark. So he can see her, and they are both running full speed. And at one point, like, her hair is getting tangled, and she, like, runs into a thicket, and she's, like, trapped. She's screaming.
Oh, my God. My nightmare.
And, oh, exactly. And she's doing a great job. But she eventually gets free, and she runs towards the closest house. Unfortunately, it's Leatherface's house.
Of course it is. Who else's house would it be? Who else lives out there?
I mean, I guess it's supposed to think it's abandoned houses and Leatherface. Are the only people who live out there.
Sure. What a neighborhood.
And so she runs inside. She's able to lock the door, but then she turns around. She's like, oh, this isn't good. So she runs upstairs, which, again, that cliche of horror movies, like a hot blonde with big boobs running up the stairs.
Right.
She runs up, and she sees, like, an older couple sitting in sort of, like, an attic room, and she runs up to them. Unfortunately, they are, of course, corpses.
Yeah.
So she's like, help me. Oh, you're dead, too.
Are they just regular corpses, or are they kind of like a pastiche of several corpses?
They appear to be just corpses. Okay. So I think we're just supposed to think, okay, these are some of the bodies that, are they from the cemetery, or they are perhaps Leatherface's family, you know? So we don't know at this point what they are. So she sees them. She's like, oh, gosh, she has to run down the stairs. And then she does the thing that you have to do, and so few people do in horror movies, which is she just jumps straight through a second-story window out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And she's badly hurt, but at least now she has a head start from Leatherface.
Yes.
So she is booking it, and Leatherface is running. Like, they're both running full speed. This is, I would be dead because I cannot sustain this level of speed.
Maybe 50 yards.
And she is like, she's in great shape. She is just, like, running as fast as she possibly can. And what's the only thing around there is the gas station. So finally she gets to the back of a building, and luckily it's the gas station.
Okay.
So she runs in, and like a lot of the films we've done, she's like, have you been up, like, she can't explain what's going on. And the gas station owner is like, what? She's like, you have to call the police. And he says, well, we don't have a phone here. Like, I'll have to drive you to Childress. Like, it's the closest phone. And it's like, well, then get your keys, bitch.
Yeah,
well,
let's get in the car and get moving. We got stuff to do.
He's like, calm down. We'll go get I'll go get the truck or whatever. He runs to get the truck, and she's sitting there, and she's just like trying not to panic. And then she starts to look around, and, well, she looks in the barbecue pit, Allison.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of meat in there.
No.
And so when the guy gets back, he's like, okay, great. So come get in my truck. And then he turns and he has a burlap bag in his hand.
Why?
And inside the burlap bag is, unfortunately, rope.
No.
So she's like, you motherfucker. And so she grabs like a butcher block and she grabs a knife
out
of it.
So he's like in on it with Leatherface?
He's in on it.
These two are running a whole scam?
And they don't specifically call it out. Well, they do later. But it's like the Leatherface kills these people and this guy cooks them.
Okay. Was that what they ate? Did they eat people?
The implication is, yes, they have eaten people. And you do see Franklin at one point, he's eating a rib, and he looks at it, and he keeps eating it. So I guess maybe that's, they didn't want to seed it too early that was probably human.
But I get it now. All right.
Yes.
Well,
I think we're to think everyone who goes to this butcher shop, and they got like sausages and like all this different meat, that had been human meat. And I guess maybe this is an indictment of, like, the capitalist system, you know, that they had to kill these people to sustain their small business.
Yeah.
But probably not. It's probably just a cannibal.
No, it's just like, what if they ate people? Is that something? And it's like, yep, that's terrifying.
And the gas station owner's like, don't worry, just cooperate. We'll have no trouble. And it's like, I saw that guy with a chainsaw chase me, and that's trouble.
Also, you know? Cooperate so you can kill and cook me? That's what cooperating is.
Unfortunately, he hits her with a broom and knocks the knife out of her hand, and then he's able to subdue her and gets her in the bag.
Oh, my God.
So I guess my question is, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Allison, the people that we have seen who are still alive are Sally, the hitchhiker, the gas station attendant who is referred to as the old man, even though he's not that old. I mean, he's I guess, 70s 50? Old.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, he's probably 50. And then, of course, our dear friend Leatherface. Who do you think is going to get out of this alive?
I think Sally dies.
Okay.
I think Leatherface survives.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a bad guy wins situation. So I'm going to say Leatherface and then everyone else is dead.
Okay, great.
Maybe the hitchhiker survives just for like a weird twist.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was going to say, is there any, would you like to guess the twist, if there is a twist to this kind of film?
Guess the twist.
Maybe that the hitchhiker's in on it.
Great. Wonderful stuff.
That's my guess. I don't know.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When your daughter's learning how to drive and says,
"Baba, can I drive?"
You say,
"Híjole, here we go."
But what you should say is something that helps protect your ride.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that's where State Farm comes in, to help you choose the coverage you need, so you can relax until you hear,
"Can we pick up my boyfriend?"
Wait, what?
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
He throws her in the wheel well of the passenger seat and he drives to, of course, Leatherface's house. And as he drives up, we see Leatherface's brother show up. And Leatherface's brother is, of course, the hitchhiker.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Exactly. I mean, again, he's the only other person we've met. So it's the end of reason. They're all part of a disgusting family. And it's not said, but I guess we're to assume the gas station owner is their father or their uncle or some other paternal figure.
Sure.
And they're just, like, screaming at each other and, like, really abusive, which is what... Like, to me, this is closer to what this kind of family would be like versus, like, I feel like we have this idea of, like, Hannibal Lecter as, like, a serial killer. And it's like, no, I think most serial killers are, like, deeply disturbed.
Abused.
From abusive homes.
Yes.
Like, it's a cycle. It's, like, generations of abuse that cause this. Like, it's not just an erudite professor or, like, psychiatrist who eats people. You know what I mean?
No, like, I think that that's often not the case.
Yeah, like, Ed Gein. Not that, like, a therapist could have stopped him, but, like, clearly he was very disturbed. Like, something was wrong, you know, in that house and with him.
Yes.
And so they take her inside, and we sort of realize there's one more member of the family, and they bring down Grandpa, who is one of the corpses in the attic. And so they drag him downstairs, and they kind of prop him up. Mm. But Allison, he's not a corpse. He's alive.
Oh.
And we know that because they slice Sally's finger, and they feed her. Grandpa her finger like he's a little baby bird or something, and he sucks the blood out of her finger.
No.
So he looks dead. I don't really know why, but he's not. And Sally mercifully then passes out for a little while.
Thank God.
To give her a break.
Scary, but, you know, at least she's not awake.
Yeah, unfortunately, she does wake up, and she is tied to a chair at the dinner table with this disgusting family.
Yes.
And we find out that the gas station owner is like, "I can't kill the people. I just cook them." As if that, like, makes any difference.
Yeah, that's a code he lives by.
And, you know, they tell her, you know, Grandpa used to be the best killer of all. He worked at the slaughterhouse. And I guess what we're supposed to think is, like, at some point this family lost the distinction between killing animals and humans, which perhaps makes this a vegan, a pro-vegan movie. Yeah. It's like, maybe things start to slip when you're killing living animals.
Massacring other animals. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so they say, hey, maybe Grandpa should have some fun and he can kill Sally. You know, like, for a change. Normally it's me and Leatherface. Leatherface has the touch, but we could have him kill her. Luckily, Grandpa is so much a corpse, I guess. He can't hold the sledgehammer. So there's this long scene where Sally, who is screaming and screaming, is being held over a bucket. And they keep having to try to put the sledgehammer in Grandpa's hand. And he just, like, can't hold it. So it keeps falling out. And, like, it keeps falling to the ground over and over again. And she's screaming and, like, flailing around. And they're too focused on having Grandpa, like, have fun
it's just
with
like,
it.
It's like, just how often are people driving through this area? Just do it. Kill her.
Right, exactly. And I guess we're to assume that the abandoned cars were, like, people who got...
Others.
Yeah. Is it that over the course of time have been killed? And so in the kerfuffle of Grandpa dropping the sledgehammer and not being able to kill her, Sally is able to escape.
Oh, wow.
She jumps through another window.
Oh, my God. This girl.
This woman is going... Yeah, she is going to live, right? So she jumps out, but obviously she's, like, injured, her leg's injured, and it's dawn. Like, now it's daytime again.
My God, so much time has passed.
And so she's running, and now the hitchhiker and Leatherface, who, again, Leatherface must be in the best shape of anyone's life. He is running full speed with a chainsaw. Oh, I should also add that at a certain point, he put on sort of a female-looking Leatherface and outfit. So I think that's supposed to hearken to Ed Gein's. He also sort of had female corpses that he dressed as, and it was sort of had to do with his mother, I think.
Yep. sounds
like his
right.
Leatherface. Yeah, I think a lot of these guys probably had problems with their mother, if I had to guess.
I would guess that. That sounds yeah. right.
And so they're running. She's basically gets to the road and a truck stops and a trucker gets out. And I was like, oh my God, is this trucker just in this movie so he can be chainsawed again by Leatherface? Like, God. I just felt so bad for him.
I know.
And so he gets out to help. She's covered in blood. So he's like, oh my God, were you hit? And he gets out and then Leatherface gets onto the road and both of them are running. And I was like, oh no, this poor trucker. And so we're running.
He's like just trying to get back to work.
Right, exactly. I mean, to be fair, I think a lot of trucking is like, getting into situations where you're like, oh, cool, a guy with a leather human skin mask and a chainsaw is suddenly coming out of the woods at me.
Running after this 20-year-old.
And so, yeah, exactly. So luckily he has a wrench and he turns and he throws it at Leatherface. And Leatherface, it comedically, falls to the ground and he drops the chainsaw on his own leg. And so it sort of starts to like hack through his leg. Okay. But that doesn't stop Leatherface.
No, he's an athlete.
He gets up and he keeps chasing them. And I was still, like, at this point in the movie, fixated on the trucker because I just feel so bad for him that he just, like, entered this scenario. But luckily, Leatherface seems really intent on killing Sally. So the trucker kind of takes off and, like, you know, keeps going. And a pickup truck stops to pick up Sally. Like, the pickup truck sees what's going on, pulls a U-ey, and stops for her to get in. Of course, it stalls. So Leatherface is, on her. And finally, the truck starts, and she drives away. This is a very iconic scene. It's Dawn.
She's
laughing. She's crying, but then she starts laughing hysterically because she was able to escape. And then Leatherface, instead of chasing the trucker or going home, just is spinning around joyfully with his chainsaw against a beautiful Dawn. And that's the end, Allison.
Oh my God. I do know the scene of her bloody, being taken away in the truck, towards the sun. But wow, what an ending.
And this is, sort of the horror trope of the final girl. Yeah. Like, she, the final young woman, beautiful young white woman who gets to survive.
Yeah, great.
But yeah, she's going to have a lot of explaining to her family, I think, when she gets home.
Yeah, a lot of people are dead now.
Allison, please, could you tell me what some fatal mistakes the people in this movie have made?
Fatal mistakes.
Picking up a hitchhiker, number one. Biggest mistake. Don't do that. None of this would have happened. But then I think about it and I'm like, well, what would have... It's like, well, stay at the gas station. But the gas station turned out to be a problem. Like, go to the... embarking on this journey at all.
I mean, the moral of the story is always to have a full tank of gas and always have your cell phone charged. Not that cell phone would have helped them, but it's always be prepared because if something were to happen, you do not want to be stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And a segment that I like to call 50 Nifty United States of Chainsaw Massacres. I was thinking so this is the Texas version of a chainsaw massacre. So I'm from Ohio and Allison is from Maryland. So in your mind, what would a Maryland chainsaw massacre look like?
It would be on a lot. There'd be a lot of docks involved.
Yes. It would be a boat. It would be their boat broke down.
Yeah. It'd be a boat. You're in a boat. It breaks down. You pull up to a marina. Mm-hmm. And there'd be a lot of, crabbing paraphernalia. Like, this wouldn't be, a butcher's slaughterhouse. This would be, a seafood. Because, that's also it's also super scary.
Terrifying. I would love that. Crab. Claw crackers.
Yeah, claw crackers. And cages. The cages for crabbing and stuff like that.
I love it.
All of Leatherface's looks would be, very preppy. It'd be, a sweater, somebody's skin tied over his shoulders like a sweater.
Yeah, it would be, leather boat shoes made out of, a human female feet.
Yes.
I love it. I think that'd be so fun.
It'd be fun. A romp.
I started to think of what the Ohio Chainsaw Massacre would be. And it is sort of similar to the Texas one, but in my mind, instead of doing barbecue, it would be Skyline chili made out of human meat.
Yes.
So head to it five-way with spaghetti and cheese and onions.
Yeah.
And everyone would be wearing an Ohio State sweatshirt.
Yeah, the Ohio State.
That would be the Ohio State. So I think that would be the main difference.
Yeah. But those sound fun. You know, I think every state would do it differently, and that's why, allegedly, this is a beautiful union of 50 different places.
Right. We all have our own cannibalistic, body-snatching serial killers that we can call our own.
Yeah, different flavors. So.
So, finally, where would you rate this on the spooky scale of 1 to 10 screams?
A spooky scale.
I would put this, because this is not based on a true story, but certainly is inspired by the kind of terrifying crimes that we see. I think it's a 9.
Oh, a 9. Okay, great.
This to me is the scariest type, where it's just someone's coming to kill you and it's super scary and it's super torturously painful.
Yes.
That to me, that can happen. That does happen. So.
Unfortunately, yes. It at least happened once with Ed Gein.
I
would say I'm going to give it a 7 because I feel like I was not so spooked out, but I was also watching it at home. But to me, this is the kind of thing you see in the theater.
Yeah.
If they ever return in the theater with your friends with the idea that this is real, that's terrifying. So it gets a couple more points from me for
that's a scary experience. So.
Well, guys, wow.
I'm glad that we got to do a movie you haven't seen. That was so fun.
It was an absolute treat. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you guys listening at home enjoyed it, too. Thank you for joining us as we continue our October full of spooks and scares.
We have a bonus episode for Halloween, so don't skip that one. That is coming up.
Yeah, get ready.
Don't miss it by subscribing to the podcast. Rate, review, tell your friends, all the stuff. This is so fun. We love doing it, so please let us keep doing it.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you know what we're going to tell you to do. Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky. Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.